When he was 7 years old, his teacher was Longpa Li Wat Asokaram. He taught Longpa how to do anapanasati, the in and out breath, mindfulness of the in and out breath. He did that for 22 years, had no idea how to practice wisdom. All he was able to do was samatha. And then finally at 29, he met Longpo Dun and learned the way of vipassana and wisdom practice. It's stupid to just do samatha only for years and years and years. Finally, was able to see physical and mental phenomena. Watching the body, watching the mind. If we watch the body, when he would watch the body, he would start at the hair, and then his hair would disappear. He would pay attention to the body would be disappeared, and all that was left were bones. Pay attention to the bones, the bones would disappear. All that would be left would be light. At most, he saw that all material things are just light, just vibration. So he couldn't go anywhere from there. He had ridden of the body, so to speak, for a long time already. And when he first learned with Longpo Dun, he was told to study his mind, so what he ended up doing was just holding his mind out and holding consciousness as a separate fixture. When he did that for 3 months, he went back to Longpo Dun. Longpo Dun said, "You're doing it wrong. You don't hold on to the mind, you watch the behavior of the mind." And so then he practiced for 4 more months, just letting the mind be as it is and watching its behavior, until Longpo Dun told him he understands now, he can practice on his own. Once though, after that he went to his master Longpo Dun, and he said, "You know, all I hear from center to center is that we have to watch our bodies. We have to discriminate and do examination of the body." When I said that to him, he looked at me like I was absolutely nuts. He said, "The reason they're examining the body is so that they can get to the mind. Once you can get to the mind, just throw away the body. The body is garbage." Longpo Dun's teacher, Longpo Man, Achan Man, told him, had the principle that if you can watch the mind, watch the mind. If ever you can't watch the mind, watch the body. If ever you can't watch the mind or watch the body, do samatha. The body is like the home of the mind. The mind is the owner. So if you can't find the mind, if you can't find the owner, then wait at his house. If you wait at his home, eventually the mind will come back and you'll get to see it. That's why we watch the body, so that we can eventually see the mind. The wisdom arises at the mind. Enlightenment happens at the mind. So there are threefold training. The first is morality. In the beginning, we learn and memorize precepts of morality, 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 227 precepts for monks. This is morality for beginners, but more advanced morality is for those who have mindfulness. It's the mindfulness that keeps us moral. Some people, before they eat, consider, why am I eating this? Is it for greed? Is it for health? Why am I consuming? This is also a type of morality, to consider the purpose of doing things. But the higher type of morality is just with mindfulness, because if we don't have mindfulness, then all of morality, concentration or samadhi, and wisdom are all fail in the absence of mindfulness. Longpa Kamkien, a late arahant, talked to Longpa once and said that, oh, finally there's somebody else that's teaching mindfulness like me. I'm too old and tired now. You can do it. Once he told me that when he was teaching mindfulness, someone came up to him and said, excuse me, why don't you teach morality? Why do all you teach is in mindfulness? And he laughed and he said to Longpa Pramod, well, he was right in his way, wasn't he? But the truth is, if we have mindfulness, then we have morality, concentration, and the opportunity for wisdom. We can't break precepts of morality if we have mindfulness, because breaking morality only happens in the absence of mindfulness, when defilements have taken over the mind. If we want to have the good type of samadhi, then we have to keep seeing the mind moving out and getting lost in thought. We can't hold or make the mind as a stable mind, as a fixture, keep it still or anything like that. That's too tight and rigid, unnatural. We have to let the mind go and get lost, and then we see it get lost. Getting lost is the opposite. The mind moving out is the opposite of the stable observer. So when we see the mind moving out, we become the stable observer. The mind is the stable observer, and we see the truth of the body and the truth of the mind, the three characteristics. When we see the three characteristics of body and mind, that's called walking the path of wisdom. If we keep doing it, then we will arrive at the noble path, and it'll happen by itself. Nobody is able to make that happen or order that to happen. The mind does it by itself when the threefold training of morality, mental training, and wisdom have all reached their fruition. What is it? What is the proximate cause for mindfulness? We learn what that is. Once we learn that, and then the rest is easier. The proximate cause for mindfulness is being extremely familiar with remembering precisely mental and physical phenomena. So if we do some meditation, we breathe, and we don't breathe so that we make them put the mind into a peaceful place. We breathe so that we can see what phenomena arise. That's being mindful with every breath. When he was a young boy, he didn't learn any of that. All he did was breathe, and then he became good at samatha. When you're a kid, you don't think too much, so it was very easy for him. But what would happen at first is his mind would move out and see angels and heavens and became interested outside of himself. But after a while, he got smarter and he just would breathe, not interested in moving out anymore, staying within himself, staying aware and breathing. Sometimes we breathe until the breath disappears and all that's left is light. It's a very fun, interesting practice to practice samatha in this way where there is mindfulness. Sati, or mindfulness, is that which sees what phenomena have arisen, and wisdom is that which sees the truth of the phenomena that arise. And once there is full wisdom, the mind will release the body and mind on its own. It'll see that the body, the feelings, and all these things are nothing good or beneficial. It'll release them and experience nirvana. If we're still holding to the body, holding to the mind, then it isn't nirvana. If we see a beautiful vision in the mind of Buddhas, that's not nirvana. He says, this is a good group of foreigners here today because he's teaching high-level Dhamma. If people aren't good at practicing, then the Dhamma that comes out won't be beautiful like this. If our mind is feeling curious now or interested, let's know so. Come back to see our own mind. Practice seeing the phenomena that arise. We can see physical phenomena or mental phenomena. Either way, mindfulness arises. When mindfulness starts to arise and we have samadhi, we keep practicing wisdom, breathing, having mindfulness while breathing, having mindfulness while standing, walking, sitting, lying down. We gain mindfulness. Happiness, unhappiness arises. Let's know so. Whether it's happiness or comfort of the body or happiness or comfort of the mind. Let's keep knowing these things until we don't have to intend to know and the mind will know these things by itself. Let's keep practicing seeing the good and bad, wholesome, unwholesome states that come up in the mind. Eventually, whatever feeling and emotion arises in the mind, mindfulness will see and know it by itself without any intention, automatic mindfulness. So let's see ourselves often and then mindfulness will happen on its own. It's not something that we can order into existence because it's not under our control. It is non-self. The mind is angry, know it. Not angry, mind it, know it. Greedy, know it. Not greedy, know it. Busy, know it. Not busy, know it. Let's keep practicing seeing the mental and physical states, and then eventually mindfulness will be automatic. It'll be genuine mindfulness. It'll happen as we keep practicing seeing physical or mental phenomena. For example, noticing the body breathing in, we know it. Breathing out, we know it. Sitting, standing, walking, laying down, we know it. Pleasant or unpleasant feelings of the body, we know so. Pleasant, unpleasant or neutral feelings of the mind, we know so. Wholesome, unwholesome states, we know them when they arise. And then mindfulness will happen on its own. That's real mindfulness. Anger arises, mindfulness sees it by itself. The anger disappears automatically, instantly. If we practice seeing the mind moving out, moving out, moving out, eventually, sati or mindfulness will see it on its own. When it sees it on its own like that, the mind will have strong, correct samadhi, knowing the mind going out again and again and again and again. Eventually, wisdom will arise. We'll see the mind that is aware is impermanent. The mind that moved out is impermanent. The mind that is aware, I wasn't able to control it. it is non-self. The mind that went out to think is also happens not in our control. It's not a self. Those who are busy thinkers, we don't get anywhere. Our mind is just a busy, restless one. So it's the homework period. Now he's going to address the people in the temple first. He doesn't have that much free time. He spends his time teaching the Dhamma, building Buddhists, creating hearts that are truly Buddhist, that understand the Dhamma. If you're nervous, just know that you're nervous. You don't have to suppress it or try to push it away. Some people think they are stream enterers when they're busy thinking. They don't realize that there's a shadow of a self there that believes that it's me thinking. She's interfering a lot. He says, right, you're creating the realm of the meditation practitioner. The desire is getting in the way. You have to see the desire when it comes up. Notice that even when we're trying and doing, there's suffering. In Buddhism, regarding suffering, there are two concepts. One is releasing from suffering. One is completely extinguishing suffering. Releasing from suffering is the arahant that's still alive, has released from body and mind, which are suffering. The complete extinction of suffering happens when the arahant passes away and never reborn. She was practicing samadhi incorrectly, and so she stopped doing it for a while. And at first, it was really torturous to not practice the samatha she was used to, but now she thinks it's better. And he said, yeah, it's better now. See the mind that is greedy. Your mind is greedy. It wants to be good. You want results quickly. See that greed. Let's not only practice when we're in the temple. At home, we have a body and mind too. People are curious why he's applying the ointment. It's primarily to repel the insects that are flying around. The minimum requirement for our practice is to just note one emotion, like anger, and then see when it's there, when it's not there, when it's there, when it's not there. So put up, if you really feel you need to send in your homework, he said, then put up your phone, your number, not your phone number, put up the number in your hand. Okay. Eight. He said, don't talk to me for the fun of it. Just put up your number if you really need to. Instead of watching the mind and body as they are, you are creating a state, a realm in which things are good and look good. You can make your way out of it if you're able to see the desire before you do this. She says, if I don't do that, then my mind's just busy all the time. He says, and so I can't practice. He says, no, you practice. You see that the mind is busy. He says, you have to know these two things. Lost in thought, or lost in focusing, or controlling. Learn to know these two things and you'll be all right. If you're confused, and then you know that you're confused. There, you just practiced perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, someone with lots of desire. He watches his breath as much as possible. Sometimes the mind gets really, really still. He says, oh, don't do that then when you're driving a car. Just watch the workings of the mind. See, let it think, and then see that it thinks all by itself. Can I have some homework? Because I'm leaving to Phuket to work there. It says you don't have to do anything different in Phuket than you do here. Can you feel the body and mind are two different things? Yes, can you feel that the awareness and the things that arise in the mind are two different things? Yes. So what are you concerned about then? One moment it comes, then moment it goes. All things come and then go. They all come by themselves and leave by themselves. Watch in this way. And that's walking the path of wisdom. Your samadhi is fine, so practice wisdom. Oh, you didn't ask anything yet. Can you sense that your mind now and before are different? Anything I need to fix? No, don't fix anything. Just keep watching in a relaxed way. See the defilement of the inflated ego. It's dangerous to practice wrongly while you're driving. Some people watch their mind, but they watch and they focus in too much on a particular phenomenon. If you can do that, sometimes the mind can just disappear for a moment. You'll lose consciousness. You won't be able to drive. Crash into something. Thank you. Don't be a 23. หลวงพ่อให้การบ้านว่าดูความโกรธเรื่อยๆอะครับเขารู้สึกว่าความโกรธมันเหนียวแข็งแข็ง
ต้องเกลียดเกลียด
Just see the phenomenon of anger just like any other phenomenon, like a nice, wholesome phenomenon, in the same way, approach it in the same way.
ลองแล้วลองอีกแล้วรู้สึกว่าทำไม่ได้ดูกายดีกว่าไหมครับ
If ever you can't watch the mind directly, then if you keep watching the body, you will see the mind. You will perceive.
He said, you're an overthinker, so it is appropriate for you to actually watch the mind, but you're perhaps understanding wrongly what the mind is. Instead, just notice the feelings. See the different feelings come and see them go. There isn't anything you have to do with them.
Aggregates are separated. มาประมาณปีก่อนนะครับแล้วถามว่าตอนนี้โอเคหรือเปล่า
Can you see that your heart has changed?
Can see that the body and the mind are two different parts, two different aspects. You can see that the feelings that arise in the mind are also not the mind, but something else. It'll appear as if the world is distant from us.
Confused? Know that you're confused.
Can you see the body laughing? The body just nodded its head. Just see in a relaxed way. Now you're over focused. The heart will be tight when you do that. Just relax. You've made progress. That's great. Just relax. 8.
You're still wanting the mind to be good.
wanting it to be happy. It won't accept the truth. If it keeps watching correctly, it won't be able to escape the truth. It's easy, just keep watching. But you're practicing fine. Can you see that the body and mind are two different things? Rupa and Nama are separate. Once they're separate, we can see that the body is working by itself. The mind is working by itself. Now there's joy. Know that there is joy. All right, two more people. There's some extra time. Anyone else? I've been listening for about a week. This is my first time. It says, oh, that's pretty good for a week. Over-focusing. How should I fix it? Fix it by seeing the greed. Nobody can over-focus like you are forever. Notice you go off to think. In that moment, you're not over-focusing. Once you come back and go, oh yeah, I'm practicing, and then you go back and focus again, soon you'll see the mind goes out to think, comes in and focuses, goes out to think, comes in and focuses. You'll see it do it by itself. You'll see it doing it by itself. It isn't us. Number two. It's like, why is there a Thai person sitting in the foreigner group? Oh, I live in Singapore. Any practitioners there in Singapore?
He practiced 22 years. เราอยากรู้ว่าทำสมถะก็สงบดีแล้วก็อยากรู้ว่าเอาไปใช้ยังไงครับที่จะก้าวหน้าต่อ Can you do some your samatha for him to see so he can suggest how to use it?
It's a little bit too tight, the focusing. Can you notice when you open your eyes back up that you feel like you're in a bit of a daze? It's not high. So this is a samadhi where you're applying self-control. When we control our mind, then moha or delusion comes up. So we'll be in a low energy daze, and all we can get from that is just to feel a little peaceful.
So let's upgrade the mindfulness in this practice. Instead, practice your samadhi, but see the different states that come and go. When the mind is peaceful, know it's peaceful. When the mind is busy, know that it's busy.
So when your mind is like peaceful, feeling like opportunity, let your mind out, looking at things.
พอจิตสงบแล้วครับควรจะตั้งใจคิดถึงนี้ถึงนู่นบ้างนะครับ
ถ้าจิตติดความสงบเฉยๆแค่คิดเรื่องร่างกายว่าร่างกายเราแต่ละส่วนแต่ละส่วนตั้งแต่ผมถึงเท้าถึงของไม่เที่ยงของไม่ใช่ตัวเราต้องปลุกอยู่ช่วงเท้าแล้วก็หายไป
so if your mind is in a state of peace and it's notthinking, then you should help it to think, but think about your body. Come back and notice from the hair down to the toes that this is impermanent. This body is not me, it's impermanent. So come back and think about the body.
That means is to contemplate your body all the time. Or you get your mind to rest and make some better contentment if you need.
ก็คือควรจะดูร่างกายคิดร่างกายอย่างนี้บ่อยๆครับหรือว่าทำความสงบก่อนแล้วก็ทำความสงบ
คร
ับ
แล้ว
พอ
เสร็จแล้วก็ออกจากสมาธิคิดที่เรื่องนั้นก
็ so do your peaceful practice and once you feel peaceful then you come to examine the body think about the bodyWhen you start thinking about the body so much and your mind gets too busy from thinking, then come back and practice for peace again. Eventually what will happen from doing this is that once you come out of the meditation, your mind will automatically start to watch the body on its own. It'll see that the body is just a physical mass, that it isn't you. Just be careful not to try to force the mind to be peaceful when you're doing your meditation. If it's busy, know that it's busy. If it's peaceful, know that it's peaceful.Can you see other people's minds? He was going to demonstrate what you should do, but if you can't see it, then never mind.